Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench. So not to bore you because I'm boring myself, but, you know, Rick asked me about my tennis. Look, it's the weirdest thing. I played. I was long. I had long arms. And when I was a kid, I was fast. So I could serve the ball 100 miles an hour because I had long arms and I could really crank a tennis ball. And like when I started playing, I was like, so the goal is to smash this ball at the other guy. And the goal is to smash this ball. I'm like, all right. So I picked up the racket. And I'm like, I start every time. I just wanted to smash the ball. I wanted to smash it serving. I wanted to overhead smash it. I wanted to, and I wanted to hurt people with tennis balls. I was a kid. I was like, I had no other reason to play. I'm like, so you give me this weapon and I'm going to hit people with tennis balls, basically. This is like the game at the fair, you know. I'm gonna shoot the moving clown, right? And with the water gun. Okay. So now I hit the ball at this guy over here. All right, I'll do that. When I played golf, I was like, all right. So I hit this ball into that at that stick. That's the goal, is to hit that stick. All right. So I did that. And once I realized I could hit a tennis ball 100 miles an hour, and that I could reach from one side of the net to the other, from the outline. And once I realized that my racket reached all the way to the side of the net, to the outline, I was like, well, if I just serve 100 miles an hour, run to the net, and no one's going to get the ball past me. All I have to do is hit it back over the net. And then once I got good at that, it was all over but the shouting. Once I could cover serving, volley, playing on clay, and that I was fast, I got really good. And then the weirdest thing, I played all my life, and then I played so much that I grew to hate it. I just didn't like it anymore. And we knew a girl like that, Mafia. It was Copper's sister, right? So on our basketball team, Brandon, his sister played at Notre Dame. The father forced him to play basketball their whole life. Played high school, star basketball, brother and sister. Superstars in New York, still hold records for performance. The girl ended up going to Notre Dame. She played at Notre Dame. She could beat any boy, any guy. She could beat any guy that we've ever played with. That's how good she was. And she, when she was done at Notre Dame, she never picked up another basketball the rest of her life. She just completely turned into a mom, and that was it. It was all over. Same with me with tennis. I went to play with my neighbor one day, this little Jewish pharmacist guy I know, and he beat me. He had me running all over the court. Like, he plays all the time, and I haven't played in 25 years. And, I went out and I was hitting the ball with him, and he could tell I could hit a tennis ball. I was serving the ball at him 100 miles an hour, and he was like, oh, okay. I don't want any part of that. But I had no other, like, I hadn't played in so long. I had no timing with my ground strokes and backhand or any of it. and any of it. I just couldn't do any of it. And he like ran me around and beat me. We played like a set or something, and he beat me like whatever, 6-4 or something. And then I, he's like, "Why don't you play?" And I said, "Because I hate it. I just don't like it anymore. I hate it." And then people say to me all the time, "Why don't you play golf? You can really hit a golf ball." I can hit a golf ball. I can hit a beautiful golf ball, but I also hate it. I think golf sucks because I sit there for 5 hours waiting for old ladies to hit golf balls in front of me, or who else, whoever else, old ladies, old men, young ladies, young men, old, young. You're always waiting. I'm always waiting for somebody to hit a ball, and I'm standing there all day, and I'm too impatient. Mafia's golfing me 100 times. He knows how miserable I get. I think it sucks. And then when I miss a 3-foot putt for par, it ruins my day. And if I'm going to be that mad, that angry, that upset, that anxiety, it's just not meant for me. So basketball is the only thing that I've ever truly loved and played and never stopped playing. I've never stopped. I've played my whole life. And I can play. And, I mean, I played with Mafia for a long time and I was good. He has no idea what I can do now. I mean, I'm like 2 or 3 years removed from playing with you. And I just kept getting better and better and scoring more and doing more. And that's the only thing I like doing is playing basketball. I don't like doing anything. I don't like, I go to the gym. I don't even like doing that anymore. I hate it. I think the gym sucks. I hate going to the gym. F you. I don't want any part of you looking at me. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to hang out at the gym. The only reason I go is so I can play basketball. So that I can be in enough shape to play basketball. And I got to tell you, I've had 5 million injuries playing basketball every day, 7 days a week. And I still haven't quit. I still play through it and I deal with it. And it's obvious to me at my age now, the only thing that has ever really truly mattered to me, playing a sport. And I played in high school and that was it. But I played my whole life since is basketball. It's all I care about. I don't want to go golfing with you. I don't want to play tennis with you. I don't want to do anything with you. I just want to play basketball. If you want to play basketball, I'll see you there. I'll be there. I'll be there with bells on. I love it. When I come back, I want to talk about Durant. His game is so sickening.
You're listening to Sports Grid, the home of the winning edge, carrying on the fine tradition of sports gaming from all the way back to ancient Rome. But they never had a mobile app.
So count your blessings, Sporto.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Farrell on the Bench with Scott Farrell.
All right, so the Nets lead the Bulls by 2 at the half in Chicago, and I think it's amazing, to be honest with you, that Kevin Durant leads the league. He's won 4 scoring titles, and he's here he is leading the league again in scoring, and he's got 10. He only shot 4 times. He hit 1 3. He's got a rebound and 6 dimes. And that's, it seemed to me like he's pretty much taking the night off and, just going through the motions because he can. I still think he could have 20 in the second half and finish with, 30. That's how easy it is, in my opinion, for him to score. The guy is truly amazing when you think about it, because he lost a year to the Achilles, right? And at his age, you can't deny he's getting older. He's still got just a magnificent game. I mean, he's still, he's unguardable because he's so big. He's 7 foot. And he can, when he jumps up to shoot, he gets off the floor another 2 feet. He's 9 feet when he's releasing the ball. And there's no one blocking him. He's just like Dirk Nowitzki. You just don't block Kevin Durant. So he gets shots off. I've always said, Mafia knows he's 6'5", 240. He knows that he has a massive height advantage over people that try to play against him. At the level we play at here in New York City, we're, you know, Mafia and I are big. You know, J.J. Redick is 6'4". He's big. But in the NBA, he looks like a little tiny guard. But he is a big dude. He's 6'4". You're 6'4 around here. You're bigger than most people playing against you. Most guys are like 6'1", 6'2". So Mavi is 6'5". He got some guy 6'1 guarding him. We just throw the ball up in the air. He grabs it. He shoots a layup. And no one's blocking it. Because when he gets off the ground to shoot the ball, he's 8 foot, 8.5 foot. Well, he's got arms the length of an airplane wing. Same as me. I'm almost 6'4", and I have a step back shot, and I have a serious step back shot. I can get you on a baseline. You think I'm going to the rim because I'm driving, and then I pop back or a double step back or a dribble drive step back go. I have all kinds of. Once I get you leaning, and I know I'm taller than you, and I know that you can't block me, and I have space. It's all day, baby. And when I see a guy that's 6'1 guarding me, I look right at the guard and I'm like this with my hand over his head. I just put my hand over his head. I go, look at the difference. Look at the difference between me and him. And then most smart players know you give the ball to that mismatch. And that's what they get every night with Kevin Durant. You got a mismatch every night, all night. Every night, all night, always, the guy guarding him can't guard him. And that's why he averages 30 a game. No one can block his shot. No one can guard him. He gets every shot he wants. Baseline turnaround, baseline step back, elbow, dribble drive, pop, shot, threes, free throws. You know, he's ridiculous. The guy will hit 90% of his free throws. When you're 7 foot tall and you got the touch he has and the step backs and the you know dribble drive dunks that he has, it don't even matter how skinny he is. People are always talking about, oh, you know, this guy can't play. He's too skinny. And he's like, you know, he's too skinny to play. Everyone thinks a guy's skinny, he can't play. Fair enough. He may not be able to post and bang, but Kevin Durant's the skinniest guy in the league, and no one can stop him. There's not one guy in the league that can guard him. I don't think Rudy Gobert can guard him. I know Rudy Gobert's the defensive player of the year, right? I don't think he can guard him. He's too slow. And what's amazing to me is that he's done it with a surgically repaired Achilles. The guy blew out his Achilles, lost a year, came back, and he has gotten better like wine. With his older age. He really has, Mafia. The guy's better now than he was before. And I think he's a prima donna. I think he's a guy that had to go play with the Warriors so he'd get a ring. He's always on a super team. He's always, you know, ball his life kind of guy. But the reality is I still don't think he's MVP just because he scores 30 a game. Because I think he goes and gets his, and that's all he cares about. He don't care about nothing. The media, I don't even think he cares about titles anymore because he's already won one. And he already got the MVP. And then he's got scoring titles. And he's got league MVPs. There's nothing left for him other than to get his. So he's going to win the scoring title because he's going to go out and keep that average at, you know, 29 a game plus, 29 and change plus. Every night he knows he just has to go there, and that's the neighborhood he parks his car in that 30 range. And he knows that's what he's got to do every night. If he does it for 40 more games, he's going to win his fifth scoring title. And it's because of all the reasons I just said. But he's not MVP to me. I think he's incredible. He's a hero ball. He's a isolation, one-on-one, unguardable seven-footer with a bag of tricks. I mean, this guy's got every shot in the book, and he's got them all down pat. And, you know, while I'm at it, I would say I've heard all this Harden to the Sixers stuff. I would no more let that guy go to the Philadelphia 76ers in any way, shape, or form, in any deal, of any capacity whatsoever. Literally, not even going to let that happen. If I'm the Brooklyn Nets, if I'm the owner, if I'm the GM, and you don't know who they are, but I do. Here's the deal. If I'm them, I just, no matter what, I don't let that guy go, because I think on his worst night, he's still good for 24-8-8, automatic. And when he was triple-double every night, he was, in Houston, he was that guy, pretty much a triple-double, 3 out of 4 games, every 3 out of 4 they play. So I think he's still capable of destroying you any night he wants. And if you get on his, you tick him off, that guy will explode on you. And he will, he'll play with a chip on his shoulder. If you want to talk, you want to get physical, whatever you want, he'll give it to you. And I would no more trade James Harden for Ben Simmons for anything in the world. I want nothing to do with a guy that can't shoot. Ben Simmons is a great north-south, guard that can dunk, and that's it. He can dunk. Well, congratulations. Everyone can dunk in the NBA. Here's the deal. He can't even hold Harden's onions. Not even close. You'd have to give me the whole team. The whole team. I want everybody, because they're not going to trade JoJo. But you'd have to give me everybody else on that team to get Harden. I think Harden's still got 4 years of ball left in him, at least, where he's, 20-plus a game. Automatic. He's 22 a game now, and they're saying he's having a horrible year. Imagine if your guard scored 22 every single game the whole year, 82 games. You'd love that. You'd be like, where do I sign? But when he has 22, they say he's having the worst year of his career. If his worst year is this, then sign me up for 4 more of it. You know what I mean, Moff?
Yeah, I mean, he's played at such a high level. I mean, when you got a guy who played MVP level, playing at all-star level is terrible to a lot of people. When you have all those guys, they're going to take it from each other.
Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
So I think, you've heard all the rumors about Simmons and that they, they're going to throw in Tobias Harris. At that point, you're almost halfway home of getting the rest of their team. You could have, if you get another starter, that'd be 3 starters. And I just don't get it. I don't think he's worth that. I think everybody thinks he's this incredible, phenomenal player that I just don't see it. I see a guy that's obviously very big. I think that's one of the keys to his success, how big he is. He's a really big guard, right? Like, he's enormous, probably the biggest guard in the league. And he can go north and south, and he can finger roll it or dunk it. Well, good for you. Who can't do that? Who can't dunk in the NBA? And literally, I just think that, I think he's great and everything like that, but whatever. I don't want Tobias Harris. I think he's a good player, but he really hasn't done anything. I mean, the guy can go out and have 30 or 25 or whatever every night, and they don't win anything. So Harden's better than both of them. And Harden tonight, all they talk about, he's having his worst year. He's got 14 right now. He leads the Nets in Chicago. And I think Kyrie Irving can drop 20 in his sleep. I think he can drop 20 in the shower. And they need those three to play together for them to be effective. That was the plan all along. And the plan has been ruined by the fact that they never play together. And yet, when it's two of the three playing, if it's a Beard and Slim Reaper, they'll win with those two. They don't even need the third guy. And they get all the bench guys, you know, jamming and clicking. They get everybody playing better. But I don't think, I actually don't think they're playing better because of KD. I think they're playing better, frankly, because Harden's making plays. He's lobbing it to people for dunks, Claxton, et cetera. He's making the passes. And I think it's guys like Brown that do all the dirty work and get rebounds and guys that you don't get the accolades, but they're the ones doing all the dirty work and making it happen. That's why they win. But I wouldn't trade for Simmons and Tobias Harris for Harden. I really wouldn't. I wouldn't let Harden get out of Brooklyn. No way. But they lead by two in Chicago. I'll give you they're underway now in the second half. It's 67-63. I'll get the game back on in a minute. I'm watching the hockey game now. Leafs trail Arizona 1-0 in the second. I don't think that'll hold up. But I just want to give you the NBA before I talk about this real quick. Lakers are up 4 in the third in Sacramento against the Kings. The Heat beat the Hawks 115-91. I hit that. The Knicks blew out the Mavs 108-85. Celtics 119-100 of the Pacers. Aided on that one tonight. The Pacers played them great in Boston, played them worse at home. Hornets, I gave you 109-98. I hit the Hornets with the spread in Philly. The Wizards won by 6. I told you I'm scared to death of the Wizards laying, I think it was 6.5. It was 7.5. That's even worse. But it went down, I think, to 6.5 today. The Rockets beat the Spurs. That one's one that rips the ticket. And then Cavaliers beat the Jazz in Salt Lake. I cannot believe that. That's a huge win for them. I could see them beating them in Cleveland. I can't see them beating them in Salt Lake City. They don't lose there. And they got their ass beat tonight. And it's obvious they got, you know, massive COVID issues on that team. And guys are missing games left and right. And that's why all of a sudden they find themselves vulnerable. All right, just so we're clear, hockey. Coyotes are up 1-0. And the second's about over, 6 seconds left. And then the Stars beat the Kraken 5-2. And the Bruins 5-1 over the Canadiens. I hit both of those games. This game, I mean, Toronto's 5 times better than Phoenix. All I know is the Coyotes, I think, I'm pretty sure they have the worst record in the league. And they've been awful. And they barely pay their bills. It's so embarrassing, that franchise. I mean, it really is. I mean, somebody just has to say it. I mean, it's like it really is the Bad News Bears of the NHL. Are they not terrible mafia? They really are.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And they're always in free fall, back and forth. Who's owning them? Where are they playing? It's always turmoil with them. It's never, you know, even when they're good, you know, at times when they've had some nice runs, it always ends with some kind of drama happening around them.
Can you imagine Phil Kessel going from winning all those Stanley Cups in Pittsburgh to being dealt to the Arizona Coyotes, and he has to play with this horrible team and with this I mean, that arena, I can't even believe, well, obviously they're playing on TNT tonight because there's no other games. So this is the game of the night. And people tune in to watch the Leafs. They're definitely not tuning in to watch the Coyotes, who don't matter. And I think some people like watching Paul Bissonnette. He's funny in the in between periods and everything else. But I don't know. It just doesn't cut the mustard for me. Like, I just can't watch this. It's so awful. It really is. I mean, I analyze what I'm watching. I'm like, okay, I got this hockey game. I'm watching the Leafs losing to the worst team in hockey. That's just not appetizing to me. I'm like, let me watch the worst team in the league push around the Leafs. Did I not say that today on Coast to Coast, I go, that's the plus 250 I would jump on is the Coyotes tonight because the Leafs played overtime last night in Vegas. And that game, the Vegas game, took it all out of them. And then they had to go play these bums. This is the night you take off. You don't even care if you lose to them. You're still getting paid. That's what I'm seeing. I'm telling you that much. But I got this game going now. Tied at 71. You knew this Nets-Bulls game was going to end up being great. It's amazing to me that the Bulls are first in the East and that they're as good as they are. And that when they showed the statue of Michael Jordan before at the United Center in the middle of the lobby, it's just amazing to me because Zach LaVine is their star now, and DeRozan. And I love DeRozan's game. There's no doubt. Fair enough. And I like Vucevic's. I like his game. But the guy that really is the star and the whole team, really the essence of the Bulls is Zach LaVine. And he puts up gigantic numbers and does great things. But I honestly have to just say it. He couldn't hold Michael Jordan's onions. And I'm telling you, like, he looks so bored playing basketball in the NBA. He's like, he's stone cold Steve Austin, his face. He just plays. He's just like, I don't even care. I don't even care if I win or lose. I'm getting paid. I'm a badass. I know it. No one can guard me. I can do whatever I want. He just doesn't, in my view, Mafia, you tell me if I'm wrong. He doesn't play, and I think he's incredible, but he does not play the game at all like Michael Jordan did. And he will never win 6 championships with the Bulls like Michael Jordan did. And when I saw Jordan's statue and him flying through the air, that's the greatest thing that will ever happen to the Chicago Bulls. And then you got to watch this guy, LaVine, now, who goes out every night and has his big numbers. And you know what he looks like to me? He looks like a guy that could just give a damn. He's like, whatever. He's like, whatever. What I do it. 9:15 tonight is I play a game against the Nets, and then when that's over, I'm going to go have a sandwich and a beer, and I'm going to go to bed, and I'm going to go do what I got to do tomorrow, whether that's fly somewhere or go to a morning shoot around, whatever, practice. All I know is that guy looks bored to death playing in the NBA. Like, he's just like, whatever. I don't care if I win. I don't care if I lose. I don't care. I score 35 a night. Just give me the ball. Get out of my way and have my PlayStation set up when the game's over, and I can play on the bus. You know what I mean? Like, to the airport, to get on their private jet. He just does not look like he cares that he's as great as he is. You know what I mean? Like, I think Michael Jordan, without a doubt, and Scottie Pippen knew exactly how great they were, and they swam in it. They literally bathed in it. Like a bubble bath. They bubble bath the fame and fortune and women and you name it, gambling. I mean, Michael Jordan, I still believe that it was gambling that got him playing baseball. And he should have never stopped playing basketball for any stretch of time whatsoever. I think the gambling did him in. And then his father's death and everything else. But this guy, LaVine, is their superstar. You couldn't get that guy excited on his birthday. I mean, honestly. You can't even compare the two of them. And they will never, this team will never do what those teams did. They'll never do it. And that's just all there is to it. I don't think time is meant to repeat itself with that team, to be honest with you. I think they're good. This team, this version of them is really good. They have the potential to go on a playoff run. They do have potential to cause damage in the playoffs as a number one seed. They're number one seed right now over the Nets. The Nets are number two. And I don't think I really don't think the Nets care what seed they are. They just don't care. And they believe, I think the Nets believe that they can just turn it on and off whenever they want, just like last year, and it just doesn't work. It's real on a bench.
It's a jungle out there.
So many possibilities, prospects, and probabilities. It's easy to become overwhelmed.
That's where we come in.
Relax. We're your trusted source for expert information on sports gaming strategies and information. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Farrell on the Bench with Scott Farrell.
So, tomorrow's the only day, Mafia, that I don't get out of bed early to take Gunner to school, because I take Gunner, 34C takes Chop, I usually go to the gym workout, but I got injured, and I've been I haven't done anything for a week because I got hurt. I got hurt in the semi of the tournament, and it's either hernia or groin tear, one or the other. What's the difference? My onions felt like steel grapefruits. That's how bad it hurt, like in agony. And then I pulled this hip muscle, the trigger point. There's a name for it that my surgeon told me. I pulled it, and it's really bad. If you pull it out and pop it out, it's like popping out your shoulder. It is absolutely like 5 days of just agony. And I've done it a couple times. I did it before with you, Mafia, on the team, where I was like, remember, I'd be like, can't even walk in the car? And I'd be like, I can't even get out of the car. And I can't. I've had it with plantar fascia. I've had it with this. I've had this injury before, and it came back again. And for the last week, it started Wednesday night a week ago. I aggravated that, and between the two of them, the front of me down in the region with the groin tear and a absolute agony lower back and hip. I haven't left the house, and I've been sleeping in a recliner. I can't even go to bed. I can barely get off the sofa. I mean, you didn't see me sitting down on the TV set like gingerly when we were doing the show. Like, I know you don't sit and watch me get up and down or anything, but I was really ginger sitting in the chair doing the TV show on camera. I was in agony because, like, sitting in that chair is very uncomfortable when your back's out, when you got an injured back. I mean, sitting anywhere hurts, but sitting for 2 hours doing TV and I can't move, and it feels like I got a giant butcher knife in my back, that sucks. So it's unbelievable to me, too, because I don't even remember doing it. I just remember coming home from the game and saying I was in agony, and then she said, I was faking it because we lost in the championship, and that's your excuse. And I was like, yeah, whatever you say, then I'm faking it. I can't walk. I can't get out of bed. I can't get in bed. I can't get in and out of a car. I can't get up from a sofa without rocking five times, like an old man rocking chair move to stand up. And then when I walk around the house, I walk 1 mile an hour like I'm 105, but yeah, I'm faking it. Yeah, that's it. That's what I do. I fake injuries so I can get what? Sympathy sex? Or like... don't have to run errands, don't have to, I don't know. I don't do any of that. I've never done that in my life. What, walk in from the basketball tournament and act like I got some kind of crippling injury? Mavi, was I faking it when I had my hand shattered in five places? You think I was faking it so I could get that shot of morphine over at the hospital?
No. And it surprised me that your wife would think that you were trying to fake an injury because, hey, you've had so many happened that were legit, and even ones where we kind of gave you heat for you when we were playing basketball years ago and you hurt your shoulder when you tore that and had to get surgery, and then we're like, all right, come on, get up, like you just fell in the grass, relax. And then you ended up ripping stuff and having to get a surgery. So even when we called you out on stuff, it's usually legit. And for her to think that you're trying to get sympathy or action, like if you're hurt, you're not getting any action. You can't physically do it if your back's banged up like that, if you can't go to bed. And we know with your wife, you ain't getting any sympathy for nothing anyway.
Yeah, I'm not getting it for anything, but I know this, that I've never, like, I couldn't have had a session if I tried because this thing was so aggravating. At one point, so I was crippled, bent over in pain, and so I have, like, this, when I'm in agony with my, like a lower back or a hip that's popped out, if I can never remember the name of the bone that leads it. It's a trigger point between your hip and your back. And it's guys like surgeons and, whether they're real or whether they're chiropractors, whatever they are, they all know what it is. And mine popped out. So when I get it, it's so bad that the only thing I can really do to get any relief whatsoever is to literally bend over completely and like as if I was stretching by grabbing my ankles. So, you know how people, before they play a game, guys, you'll see them and they're bending over, grabbing their ankles and doing that stretch. The only time I'm ever really, truly comfortable with it is if I'm like leaning on a counter or on the piano and I'm leaning on something, bent over, halfway at least. And so when I came home that night, I was leaning on the piano and I was moaning and groaning in agony. I was like, oh God, it hurts so bad I can't even breathe. I had tears in my eyes. And I'm like, she's like, my daughter goes, you should go to the hospital. And that's how bad it was. And then she said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not taking him. I'm not sitting in the hospital all night because he's faking it because they lost. And I'm like, B, you must be tripping. You must be tripping because I'm in agony. She goes, no one's in that much pain. And I'm like, okay, well, whatever you say. Whatever you say. So I don't give her grief about anything, but I think there's a lot of drama with the basketball because, fair enough. Like Mafia knows I play basketball way too much and that's all I do is play basketball and nothing interferes with it. Like my kids, whether it was their own games or piano concertos, birthday parties, bar mitzvahs, whatever the hell they're doing you know, I get it. Mafia's kind of that way too, probably. The kids come first. And he would put his kids first always. And so would 34C. I, on the other hand, I play basketball first always. And I'm, you know, I am an asshat. I am a D. And I play basketball first always. That's it. Like, I'm going to go. Listen, I work my ass off. I'm going to go play basketball. If you don't like it, have a sandwich. You know what I mean? Like, or you can talk bad about me every day, every chance you get. Talk bad about me because I'm this horrible person because I play basketball too much. And you know what I say? If you don't like me playing basketball that much and that bothers you that much, then I hope you swim in it. Because the more you say I shouldn't be playing basketball, the more I'll play. I mean, you keep ripping me for playing basketball, I'll play even more. Mafia knows it's true. Saturdays and Sundays, there could be the world could be ending. There could be an apocalypse, and I mean, there could be a funeral. There could be anything. You cannot name anything that will keep me from playing basketball ever, and injuries or otherwise. And that's what I do. So I can see why. I totally respect the fact that she doesn't like that I play basketball. I don't think she cares, but I think she thinks I play too much. You know, I've heard it before. Like, all you do is play basketball and work. That's all you do. I'm like, okay, well, then that's all I do. And you can keep telling yourself that and tell your friends that and talk on the phone and tell everybody you know that all I do is work and play basketball because that's what I do. And you know what? That's what I do. And so I'm guilty. All I do is work and play basketball. And that's kind of who I am. I'm no different than KD or any of me. He balls and he plays video games. That's it. I work, do, you know, TV and radio shows, and then I play basketball. And then I run, you know, 50 million errands. Whatever needs to be done, I go do it. And I usually complain about it. I complain about everything. If I have to drive to school every morning, 5 days a week, every day, every week, 7 days, I do it and I say, this sucks. And when I got to go to the store every week and, you know, buy $300 worth of groceries every week and do all the, pick up everything, get it done. I do that. I complain the whole time I do that too. I'm like, this store sucks. These lines suck. I hate this place. You know, I complain everywhere. Mafia, same thing would work. The equipment doesn't work. I complain. And I will say, though, I am really good at it. I am really good at complaining. But I don't, I'll tell you this much, I don't scream and yell at anybody at work. I don't scream and yell at anybody playing ball. I've gotten in a million fights over the years, but I've never, I support my teammates, you, everyone. I like everyone. I get along with everyone. I don't pick fights at work. You never seen me screaming and yelling at people at anywhere, Howard Stern, CBS, Sports Grid. I just do the gig and I don't freak out. I get more mad at equipment than I do people. Like, if the computer doesn't work, the camera doesn't work, the Wi-Fi, the Ethernet, if it all crashes, the fancy equipment doesn't work, like the last week we've had problems. I mean, I blame the equipment. I don't blame people. I'm cool with the people, but you know, I am labeled as the guy that just works and plays basketball, and that really is who I am. So I really, I don't think I'm going to lose any sleep over it. And I think I probably, my guess is, Mavi, I will go to hell for it. You know, my guess is I will be turned away from the pearly gates. I will be unable to attend a party with TR and LC, my parents, in heaven, because I will not be allowed into heaven because I am such a horrible person and a horrible father and a horrible human being and a selfish human being. And all I do is work and play basketball. And so if all you do is work and play basketball and get injured, then you're meant, I believe, you're meant for a life of really doom and hellfire. Doom and hellfire. I believe I'm going to hell because all I do is hoop work and get injured. But I do have a really nice hot tub for my injuries. And that's it. I mean, I even outlasted Mafia. I think the COVID did him in, but Mafia used to play all the time. I mean, he was good for 3 days a week. And I'm in the 7 day a week realm. I mean, when I'm injured like I am now, I'm taking off so I can go back and play without these two things rearing their ugly head again. I need it. And you've never seen me take a week off of anything, you know, playing or working out. I haven't been there in a week, 7 days, because I couldn't walk. I mean, if I can't walk, then I can't run. That means I can't shoot, I can't lift, I can't do anything. So why go? So I just laid around, and my only goal during the day was to get to the studio in the house. It's not like I have to do anything hard. But when you can't walk, it is hard. It is hard going down a flight of stairs when you can't walk. So I know that. Like, I had trouble getting up and down stairs, and so I didn't go to the gym, but I did. When I'm home injured, like with broken hands, or I've had surgery, and, you know, you get that sympathy, like 2 day sympathy window where everyone feels sorry for you for like a couple of days. And then after that, they start complaining that you're around too much. All you do is lay around on that recliner of yours. And just so you know, Mavi knows, I have these two gigantic Steeler recliners. They're Pittsburgh Steeler recliners. And I sleep on it when I'm injured because, like when I had rotator cuff labrum surgery, I slept on it for, I mean, I don't even know, 8 weeks, 9 weeks I slept on it. I sleep on it now because I can actually, you know, it helps me get out of the chair. It folds up, and, you know, it's like a lazy boy, and it's badass. So, and then I also am allowed to snore and fart on the recliner as opposed to sleeping with 34C.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
So the Nets are absolutely blowing out the Bulls. I cannot believe how bad they're stomping their ass. I mean, it's 101-79. And Durant, did I not tell you he could have 20 in the second half? And like, he'll get his 30. He gets his 30 every night. He had 10 at the break. He's got 27 right now. And there's an entire quarter left. And how about this? I heard LeBron with a giant slam, Monk with a giant alley-oop slam, Lakers doing it all. And then I look at the score. They're losing to Sacramento 106-95 with 9 minutes left. Like, I mean, they are on their knees bobbing for the Lakers, even when they're, they get attention and juice and coverage even when they're getting their ass beat. I mean, they're losing the game, and you would have thought the Lakers were winning the game the way ESPN's kicking out LeBron with a huge dunk. Oh, look at LeBron go. Oh, look at, the rest of it. Monk, AD, having his way. And meanwhile, they're losing. They're down 11 with 9 minutes ago. Like, it's unbelievable to me. You shouldn't even be allowed to talk about the Lakers. They're so bad. They're so 500. They really are. Anyway, Austin Matthews with the equalizer for the Leafs in Arizona. Of course, he's from there. He's got the homecoming going, had a nifty goal to tie it up against the Coyotes. And then everything else is already done. And that's it. So we'll see you tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid TV. Good night from New York City.